This is file number 6, cycle 2. This is Jean McMillan. Today's date is September 28, 2015. I am interviewing Rolf Schenkel and his daughter Renee about their wonderful experiences at the Ragamont Inn. And first we'll start with the genealogical information. What is your name?
My name is Rolf Schenkel.
When were you born?
August 25, 1934.
Where were you born? What country?
Germany.
Okay.
Or Switzerland, you know.
They were in between, yeah. Your parents' names?
My father was Henry. My mother was Gertrude.
Do you have, or did you have, brothers or sisters?
I have two brothers.
Are they still in Switzerland?
Yes.
He's doing well, isn't he? What was your training? Were you
my profession?
Your profession.
Started as a baker.
Oh, good.
And then I went into cooking.
So the baking came first and the cooking came later.
Yes.
Where did you start your American experience?
That was in Greenwich, Connecticut.
And were you working in a restaurant?
Yes.
As a baker?
As a baker.
And how did you get up here from Greenwich, Connecticut?
Well, that was a big detour.
Yes.
Well, first I landed, of course, in New York. On the Queen Mary. Maybe I didn't tell you that.
That's all right. Keep going.
And from there, I worked in Greenwich, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. That's where the first experience. And then I met Barbara, her mother.
Ah.
And then we took a trip to the United States by car.
Wonderful.
And we arrived in Reno, Nevada, where I again worked as a baker for 2 years.
Okay.
And then came Renee along, and we moved back to Connecticut, Stamford, mm-hmm. Connecticut.
All right.
You want to
know more? Sure. Oh, sure. I want all of it. I want all of it.
Well, Renee came over.
We're in Stamford.
Yeah, we're in Stamford.
And you were at the Chantilly.
And well, first in the clam box.
Yeah, I have the clam box down here.
Okay.
Well, the clam box was before Reno.
That was before Reno. No. And
that's
after.
Where you. Oh, and after.
And
okay.
After.
Okay.
I came back to it.
Then Chantilly.
Then we started a restaurant.
And Chantilly was in Fairfield?
In Fairfield, mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And then when did you come up here?
And, we came up here in 1970. Was it 70?
Yeah, April 1970.
Yeah, April, that's right, yeah.
And whom did you work for when you came up here?
When I came up here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had bought.
You bought the Ragamont?
The Ragamont, yeah.
Whom did you buy it from?
From Mrs. Ida Hammond.
And was that Peter Hammond's wife?
No, not Peter. That's what's the taxi?
That's Hammond.
That's
It was Dean Hammond.
Dean Hammond.
That was
yeah.
The son.
But that was the son.
That was the son. Yeah. Dean Hammond. Yeah.
Okay.
The husband wasn't alive at that point.
Yeah. Would that have been Peter Hammond?
Could have been. I
okay,
don't,
because that's what I had down here. All right.
Dean's,
so it was Mrs. Hammond that you bought it from.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Where did the Hopkins Inn come in? You had a partner?
I had a partner in the Chantilly.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And what happened, we were, his name was Rudy, you know. He's still Rudy.
But he's not at the Hopkins anymore anyway. But go ahead.
And we were in there for 2 years and then we parted. The partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that the Wagamon was for sale. And we agreed to, you know, Rudy stayed at the Hopkins Inn.
And you came to the...
up here.
Do you remember how much you paid for the Wagamon?
$75,000.
That was a lot of money.
I know.
Oh, dear. When you bought the Wagamon, how many rooms were you renting at that time?
There were... How many was there?
Yeah, but did you have to fix some up?
We had...
You had to fix a few up?
We had to fix a few up, and we wound up with...
Eight rooms.
Was the barn on the property used eventually for rooms?
Yes.
Okay. And how many rooms would have been in the barn?
Three.
Was it always a restaurant, or did you convert it to a bed and breakfast?
That was only at the end.
At the end. Yeah. How long did you run the Wagamon? You bought it in 1970. And when did you sell it?
2000,
yeah. Around there.
To whom did you sell it?
To, what's his name? Pete?
No, Elaine LaRoche.
Elaine LaRoche.
When you were running the Wagamon, was your staff local, or did you bring people from Europe?
Well, mostly was a local staff. I usually got a Swiss chef for the season.
And sometimes... In the beginning, we had a few waitresses from Switzerland.
Yeah, we had a few waitresses. Mm-hmm.
That was standard,
pretty much. Yeah. I mean, the Swiss hoop in New York import from Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About how many waitresses would you employ?
That's hard to say because...
It depended upon how many...
Part-time.
Yeah. But you had full-time and part-time?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably 8 to 10.
At max.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, did you ever run the inn during the winter?
No.
Smart.
The first year.
And then you learned.
That I learned.
Yeah, the first year, the winter would not be good.
Yeah, talking about the plumber, you know.
Mm-mm.
It wasn't so much customers, it was more frozen pipes than anything.
Well, that would happen.
Yeah.
That would happen. Chambermaids? Two or three?
Yeah, probably three.
And again, local?
Yeah, they were local. Well, again, sometimes the waitresses would double as the chambermaids.
Yeah, I used to do that. I know what that's like. What was the size of your dining room?
That's a good question.
You mean how many people could be sitting there or the physical size?
How many people could be sitting there? And I'm talking about the inside, not the patio. We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay. I'd say inside in the main dining room.
Mm-hmm. 35.
Yeah, inside. I'd say about 35.
You're doing fine. These are the same answers as you gave me before.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, you'd send me to...
But you're doing fine.
And the other dining room was 30.
Okay, and how about the patio? Because that was something that you...
The patio...
Created, I think.
Yep.
It had about 40.
Yeah, it could be between 40, 45. if we put little tables, we used to mm-hmm. grab tables from the dining room, put it on the porch.
Yeah.
So we'd get as many as we could.
We used to go there when we had teacher retirement parties, but we were inside. And then later, when my husband and I were being entertained by other couples, we would go during the summertime and we would sit on the patio. And it was just, you know, the food was always wonderful, but out on the patio you could see the people going by.
Yeah, people would sit out there in the hottest, I mean, they would be sweating.
Yeah, but it was just, oh yeah, but it was such wonderful to be outside and to have this delicious food and just enjoy the atmosphere. You know, you really didn't think too much about the sun.
And then were you ever there at dusk time when the bats, we had bats?
Bats flying around.
I know, I missed the bats. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
That was our natural mosquito chaser.
Oh, Lord. Well, that was good. That was good.
Mosquito repellent.
You had some very special food that you made. I know about your salad dressing because Jane Fitting has raved about your salad dressing.
Yeah.
And also your wonderful hot rolls, both of which I remember.
The hot rolls, yeah.
Tell me about Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest?
Mm-hmm. What are some of the foods that you did for that?
Well, that was... because I never
We didn't have really an Oktoberfest.
Maybe, but you did at the White Hart.
Right, that was early, when the Harneys, yeah.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
The harness put on an Oktoberfest mm-hmm. in the middle of the winter.
Oh dear.
Not in October.
Not in October, but anyway, I helped them out to make sauerbraten and Wiener Schnitzel.
Oh, Spätzle?
Spätzle, and all those German goodies.
Oh yeah. I love Spätzle. Did you ever formally patent your salad dressing to sell?
We were going to. We had a customer
mm-hmm.
from Sharon who wanted to. And, you know, with all the preservatives, it wouldn't taste
It wouldn't the taste
same.
The same.
No.
No.
So we
didn't. And the Hopkins Inn has a dressing, a salad dressing.
Mm-hmm.
But it tastes different now than when he started.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
Because, you know, you have to go to all these...
Preservatives
and chemicals,
So doesn't it? You can't use fresh eggs, you have to use powdered eggs.
Yeah, and that makes a difference in the taste. It's not the same.
Not the same.
No. I do a very simple salad dressing at home, and if I use one kind of wine vinegar, it tastes different than if I use a different kind of wine vinegar.
True. Yeah.
And so when you're doing it in small batches, like you, and I, by small, I mean small for the restaurant, you know, you can control what you're doing. Well, but if you're manufacturing gallons and gallons of the stuff, you don't have the quality control.
I mean, you can buy the Hopkins dressing in the store.
Was yours a cold dressing or a hot dressing?
Cold.
Cold.
Yeah.
I still make it sometimes.
Ooh. Ooh. Did you do a hot potato German salad?
No.
Nobody does it here.
Nobody does it here?
He does it at home here.
He does it at home, but not at the restaurant.
Not at the restaurant. No, I don't think we... Did you make it for lunch at all? No.
No, no not really.
No.
I made the rösti.
It was the rösti that was the big...
And I know about the rolls. Did you also do breads and sticky buns and that sort of thing, or just the dinner rolls?
Just dinner rolls.
Early on, you used to do Danish. And then, you used to do Danish early on.
Yeah, Danish early on, yeah. And then, of course, I made Linzer tort, almond tort, and all these
things. All the desserts were all...
And Wiener Schnitzel and Spätzle and Sauerbraten. Ossobuco?
Mm-hmm. You made Ossobuco.
Ossobuco. Oh,
yeah.
That was the main dish it on the menu.
One of the specialties.
And you helped out at the White Hart. Did you do that on a continuing basis, or was it just a one-off?
No, we did that a couple of years.
It was our off, you know, off season.
Yeah, when so when you weren't closed, yeah. working in the restaurant,
right.
it he was off season.
He did that a few years.
Yeah,
but you know when he left the when he left, there was nothing. They
really changed it up, yeah, and it was empty for a while too. I just finished doing Elise Harney.
Oh, you did?
On the White Hart. That's why I'm asking some questions.
Do we both mesh? Does she remember?
Yeah. Oh yes, and spoke very fondly about the salad dressing and the rolls particularly because I asked her about that.
What's really good is if you took the roll and dipped it in the salad dressing, lettuce out of the equation. That was really good.
Oh my! Oh
that
my!
Was something we used to do.
But it's so good to have the people that actually ran the place talk about it because you have memories that nobody else would have.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to tell me again, what was your favorite day of the week?
The favorite day of the week? Well, Monday.
Why?
It was your day off.
It was your day off. I love that. That really is pleasing to me. Okay.
That was usually the heart of work.
Yeah, that was
all cleaning.
Oh, yeah.
You cleaned that day.
You cleaned, and then during the winter, didn't you refurbish the rooms?
Did ball papering and painting. And,
always.
Always, yeah.
There's always work. And just cleaning, the year-end cleaning took about a month.
Cleaning
the rooms, putting everything away,
yep.
then opening up, cleaning the... Mm-hmm. In fact, that's how I know. If you put me in the middle of the ragamuff, I may not know, because Pete switched it around, but I know where I am because of the windows.
Because
I know all the windows I cleaned.
Oh, sure.
I know exactly where I am if I ever got lost there by the windows.
When you were cooking, did you use local suppliers for meats and vegetables, or did you have to go...
I had to go outside.
You had to go outside.
Well, fruits and vegetables,
fruits and vegetables in the season.
Back then it was all local.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a
consortium that was in Hartford or New Britain.
But meats, that stuff that came from out of town.
Our veal came from Albany. That's pretty local. Right?
Did you have difficulty getting specific cuts of meat for your German dishes?
No problem.
No problem.
No.
Okay. All righty. Any stories about your bed and breakfast guests or your inn guests that...
I could write a book of the inn guests.
That you could.
The lady that killed the ants, I said.
That was Miss Stanley.
Tell me about Miss Stanley.
She was an older woman. She, from New York,
mm-hmm.
would spend the summers up here. She would do very... Very quiet woman, but she would take her cane and kill the little daddy long legs on the side of the, or she would if there's a little tear in her, I don't even think it was a tear, but on a screen,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
she would ball up little pieces of paper and stick them in little holes. But pretty much she was a nice woman. And Miss Hansel, she was a nice woman.
Oh, she was
what was her name?
Miss Hansel.
Mrs. Hansel.
Eva Hansel.
Yeah, he also was a lady that came up in the summertime.
Yeah, she came up in the summertime.
Did you have a lot of people that stayed two or three weeks during the summer?
In the early years.
I used to work in Great Barrington, and the people would come, usually older ladies, and they'd come and they'd stay for a month. And as I had a waiting station, and because these people would stay for a month, I knew that they wanted a soft boiled egg in the morning, or I knew that they wanted their fish filleted before it came to their plate. So you'd get to know your customers a bit, and that makes a difference.
Oh yeah,
makes it easier. I've got down here a German Shepherd.
That was a dog.
That was our dog.
Ah,
but
okay.
But that was, I think, going back to our characters.
Yeah.
we had a man, I forgot what his name was, but he was
a little different. Yeah.
He was stalking, yeah, or he was threatening one of the Buckleys. Is that in your notes there? Yeah, we didn't know that. And that's where our German Shepherd comes into play, is that he wanted to rent our German Shepherd. Or did he want to buy it? Did he want to buy or rent?
He wanted to rent it.
He wanted to rent them.
Oh, good Lord.
You know, he never wanted any maid service. He would, like, close the door. We only had a pay phone. We didn't have phones in the room. So he would close off the main entrance so he could talk privately on the pay phone.
Oh, my.
And then, you know, he would go behind the barn every day at the same time. Couldn't find out he was peeing on the barn in the back. We didn't know all this.
You learned it later.
Didn't officers arrive and they wanted to look up in his room and they found, what did they find up there? Knives and guns in his room?
Knives and a gun and a book of the
Hitler?
Hitler.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
A colorful character.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, the funny thing is my mother always thought he was, you know, the all-American guy. He didn't, yeah, she didn't think anything else.
Blonde,
you know, he had very good looking.
Yeah. Looks can be deceiving.
They could be.
She thought there was nothing wrong with him.
Yeah, well, later did we find out.
But we had that barn back there. And he always went behind the barn when he came. You know, he parked the car in the front. He would walk all the way back to the barn. And 10 minutes later, he came back.
Oh, my
went
word.
In his room. So Renee says to me, why don't you go...
Barbara. I was young. I was young
Yeah?
Why don't you go over to the barn, you know, before he comes? You know, and see what, you know, there was a window. And see what he's doing, you know. So I
this
did that. And what he did is he was urinating back.
Oh, Lordy!
And then he went to his room.
Strange man.
That's when things started. And then, you know, when he wanted to rent the dog, then we started thinking, you know, this guy isn't all together. So
when you are working with the public, you get all sorts of people. Absolutely.
Even just, I remember one woman that came in and she was, I don't know if she was out of it, but she wanted Parmesan cheese, and she goes, she's making psychedelic polar bears. I'm like, oh my. Then she would go into the main dining room and have a dramatic, I remember
event.
That woman. Yeah,
oh my.
A dramatic event. But that was a one time. Then they came and picked her up.
That's good.
We called the cops.
That's good. When you were running the kitchen, did you have a sous chef? Or did you do it all yourself?
No, I had a sous chef.
You had a sous chef. Did you bring them from Europe, or...?
In the beginning, and then after, I had local.
Did you train them, or did they come to you already trained?
They came partially to me.
Okay. And you finished them off?
I finished them off.
Oh, good. Good.
Actually, it was my sister-in-law.
Well, that was later. That was later.
When you had your rooms, were they en suite or was there a bathroom down the hall?
Both. In the beginning, they start, you know, in the beginning we had one section that five rooms shared one bath. And then, you know, 1 year we made one side, three rooms into a suite. And then a couple of years later, then we made the other side a suite.
There was another thing there. About that bathroom, that upstairs.
Yeah.
It was also the men's room.
Yeah, our share bath was our men's room.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
Share bath was a men's room.
Oh.
And the bath. And there was one day, there was a man went upstairs. Most of them, they didn't go up there anyway. They used the ladies' room downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big laugh. I laughed at it. It was a man went upstairs to go to their community bathroom, and the lady was sitting in the bathtub taking a bath.
Oh, dear. That That could be a little bit, yeah, a little embarrassing.
He told us his friends down there, that's why they left.
Oh, sure.
It's probably the year you decide to put the ladies' room.
Oh, well, but then we decided, now we got to have two bathrooms.
Yeah, well, that makes a difference.
Yeah.
Did you have any hikers that came through?
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of hikers. And then then we started sending them our overflow. We would send to another character in the town, Maria McCabe.
Oh, yes.
And to this day, she still takes in hikers, and she still tells them, you know, my friends from the Ragamont used to send them, you know.
A fellow came into the Academy building a couple of years ago looking for her,
Maria.
And he remembered the house. And I directed him up this way, and he said, if I recognize the house, I will stop in and speak to her. And I think he did.
Yeah, I mean, she's well known now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that's what keeps her alive.
It makes a difference. It truly does. You've got to have something to keep you going.
Yeah.
Did you take in pets when you were renting rooms?
I think in the beginning.
In the beginning. Then
the
again,
beginning.
We learned our lesson.
Yeah.
They
can be messy.
They can be messy.
Yeah, I did that for a while. What kind of dinnerware did you serve on? Did you have a particular pattern or?
We still have it.
We still have it.
Oh, wonderful.
I'll tell you the pattern. Just goes to show you. Well, this was this came with the Ragamont. That was but then, you know, when we bought it, we didn't have enough service. And so we bought this, this pattern was what we bought.
Okay.
And that's Syracuse, China.
Yep. Oh, I can tell. Where I went to college, we used to trial test the Syracuse China. If it survived college women, it would survive anything.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
and this,
lovely.
This does it. McNichol?
Yep, McNichol.
That's an old.
That was the beginning. That was the. Was this a. This was our lunch plate, but was it a dinner plate in their time?
No.
Pattern on that
no.
one. But pretty, pretty dishes.
So you needed something to kind of blend in. With
yeah, that. You had to.
And this is kind of patriotic.
Oh, yeah, it's
you
pretty.
Notice, we have
you've got the eagle.
And the flag over
here. Yeah.
So we still, it doesn't match anything here, but we still use it.
Oh, sure. Well, they're good, sturdy plates, and you need something. But, boy, they're heavy.
They're
on
heavy.
A tray.
On a
ooh.
Tray, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I developed good muscles.
Yeah,
that's probably why. This is why my back is shot for carrying these.
Oh, I can believe it. I can believe it. And when I was waitressing, it was one-handed above the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and eight of those things? Oh, heavy, heavy, heavy.
We used to have contests on how many plates we could carry on one tray. Yeah.
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 Uh-huh.
My back is...
Don't drop them.
No. Oh. I have done that too.
I dropped a whole tray load of plates and glasses. Just slid. The tray was wet. And
did you, like, what we were taught was you took the tray and then you put, like, a dish towel on the bottom of it so the plates wouldn't slide? Did you do that?
We had cork.
Okay.
Trays,
but
so
ours were just plain metal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so we'd put a dishcloth on so it wouldn't slide.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand, you know, clinking glasses and clinking cups and saucers. All right, Renee, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
What haven't I covered about your experiences with the Ragamont that I should ask you? I've tried to cover everything that I could think of.
I think you covered everything. I mean, other than, you know, I was a young girl growing up in a business.
Oh, sure.
That's a, you know.
You did everything.
I learned everything, except how to cook. Somehow I didn't get to that department, but I got to every other department you can think of. But it was, it's probably different than, you know,
Oh yeah, it's
off
different.
The streets and
it's different growing up in the business than it is coming in as an outsider.
Yeah.
When I was waitressing, I lived at the place I was waitressing, and so I sort of had the dual. You know, I knew what was going on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just coming in and serving.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was good because my parents were always there.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't. They didn't go to a job.
They were there. Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of people say, well, how did it feel, all these people in your house? And, you know, you never think of it now.
No.
Now I don't want anybody in my house.
Oh, all right.
I know.
But it's very different. It's very different. And you have to be on all the time.
Right.
You know, good behavior, smile, pleasant, cheerful. And that gets wearing after a while.
Yeah,
were you closed during the week at all? Did you take any? I know you loved your Mondays, but did you do Monday and Tuesday off that you were closed or not?
That was many years. By then I was out of college when we took the extra day. But growing up it was just Mondays. And, you know, we used to go to, my fondest memory was we would go to Kent Falls for a picnic with Rudy, who owned Hopkins.
We'd
meet there, and that was, or we would go there because he had a lake. Mm-hmm. You know, he was on the lake.
Yeah.
And so we would go and just have picnics, and that was our day.
But that was your day off. You weren't in the kitchen, you weren't cooking. Did your waitresses have a particular uniform?
Yeah.
Dirndls?
Dirndls, yeah.
Good.
And then, well, of course, later on, you know, they got very expensive. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, we'd see them ball them up and throw them in their trunk. And so we went to the standard black and white.
Well, I was interviewing Gudrun Dunst, and she had, and I'm not sure whether she had it for herself or whether she had it for her daughter, but she had a German dirndl, and she gave it to the present owners of the Hopkins Inn because she wanted it to be used, and they were very, very pleased with it, and they're beautiful costumes, but they are expensive,
I don't know if the Hopkins still does that.
I don't think they do anymore. Maybe it was just for display.
Maybe the Swiss hat. The Swiss hat, they used to have dirndls years ago.
They don't anymore.
It's black and white.
Yeah. It's easier to keep it looking clean.
Clean, and then the expense is not as great. You know, it's easier to find black and white than it is
It is.
There used to be a place up in the Catskills that used to...
We used to buy them.
We used to buy them.
In Hunter, New York. I don't know if you're familiar. Are you a skier?
No. No.
Well, there's this famous Hunter Mountain.
Oh, I've heard of Hunter Mountain.
Well, that's where, up there, there was a store, you know, that sold these dirndls.
Ah, okay. All right. Yeah, that would make sense, because I've heard advertisements recently for Hunter Mountain, and they do special event type things.
Oktoberfest.
I have a little magazine, Alpenland.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
You want it?
No, I don't think so.
Well, you never know.
It would go in the folder. It would be fine.
It defends us.
You know, the more trivia that I can put in your folder to augment what I'm doing here.
These are more, they're into their Christmas stuff.
Well, I was in the store late yesterday, and there's still Christmas stuff.
You can keep
would be wonderful.
Yeah. And I'm sure if I looked in any of those, if you see all those photo albums there,
I'm sure
I could pull out waitresses that we had at dirndls on.
And that's important, too, because everybody's got different memories. You know, I've heard what Renee's fondest memory was. What's your fondest memory when you were doing the restaurant?
My fondest memory? You mean when I did the cooking?
The cooking.
Or creating new dishes.
Oh, okay. Can you tell me a dish or two that you created?
Created all of his dishes, really. You know, they weren't, you made up your own recipes
I had made a dish with sweetbreads.
Oh, I love sweetbreads.
That was very popular. butter. It's not so much the actual, because if you think of the actual meat, but it's the butter that he created, that or the scampi butter, or the herb.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Those things he created.
It's the butter for the snails.
Yes, oh, I remember the snails. Oh, my.
It was the butter. Trust me. It wasn't really the snail.
No, because the snail tastes like rubber. But, yeah, you know, if you've got enough butter and garlic on it, they're wonderful.
He created the salad dressing. Mm-hmm.
When you cooked, you didn't measure things precisely. You sort of had a flair for it and would put things together that from your head would work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's the sign of a really true chef.
Yeah.
I have to use a recipe. I can't cook without a recipe. I have no flair.
Well, you know, it's funny now. He needs a recipe. I'm like, just throw something together. He goes, no, I need a recipe.
Well, it's a memory aid. It's a memory aid. And I do a lot of that with my stuff. But
at that time, I did it every day.
Yeah.
If you do it something every day, it's like blind, you know. You can't give you a thing of that. And
he wrote things down. I have his recipes, but trust me, they won't taste the same as when he did them, because I know he's left, like that salad dressing, I had to like curve it so that it actually tasted like the salad dressing. He left out a few things.
Well, that may have been deliberate.
That is.
You know.
No, you forget things.
But you do forget things, or you don't have one spice and you put in something else.
That's like one time that a lady came in, she had bought an almond tort.
Ooh.
Which is, I don't know, you probably had it.
I know what it is.
It's almond filling, but on the bottom is a apricot jam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I forgot to put the apricot jam in. A lady came to me and said, you didn't give me the right recipe.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
It happens, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Oh, gosh. It was unintentionally, of course.
Oh, yeah. You know, you're busy.
That happens.
And you're doing two or three things at once because you don't have time to do one at a time.
Yeah.
Oh, I've done that. Not anything as fancy as that, but I've, you know, forgotten something or read the recipe wrong, and then you have to figure out how to correct it. I thank you so much for this. It's been wonderful.
Well, you're quite welcome.
Thank you again. And thank you,
great.
Renee,
you're
for
welcome.
Letting me do this.
It took a long time.
I know.
It's worth every
minute. It's almost 2 years, but you've got it.